It in, losers. This is the Lady Killers, a Feminine Rage podcast. I'm Jen.
I'm Sammy.
I'm Rocco.
And I'm May. Our podcast is a tribute to the female-identifying killers in horror and more.
Each episode will feature us, your Supreme Court of female murderers, discussing our favorite lady killers, from your Julias and Jennifers to your Carries and Christines.
We'll tell her story, decide if it's good for her horror, and answer the most important question of all. Would we die for her?
Join us on Thursdays as we pull on our sweaters, snatch our ice picks, sharpen our scissors, and honor the lady killers who live on the silver screen.
No boys were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Yet.
Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, suspects, and deadites. What you're about to hear is a clip from our exclusive Patreon episode on Steve Miner's 1999 creature feature, Lake Placid. How do you hear the full thing? Become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there, so we can give you one more scare.
Welcome to Who Goes There, where we, of course, talk about the characters, the human characters, as it were. We've talked about the croc a lot, but we'll talk about them even more in a later section. Like I said, actually not, it's weird. This movie feels like an ensemble film, but it doesn't have a staggering number of humans to talk about. Honestly, there's way more in like Friday the 13th Part 2, I think, than there are here. I mean, it's really just a handful. I don't know, who would you guys call the protagonist? I could think of two, but I'm not sure which. I don't know whether we should start with Jack Wells, played by Bill Pullman.
You know, Bill Pullman gets officially top billing, but I think it's Bridget Fonda is the lead.
Because we're with her from the beginning. Yeah. I feel like we're seeing it all through her eyes. She's on the poster. I would say everyone in this film, the four leads, are about a similar level of fame. I would say like they're not. None of them are like Tom Cruise necessarily.
They're so close to A-list, but you cannot call. Especially a Fonda. You can't call a Fonda a B-list.
Yeah.
Actor, well, that's what I was saying. Right? It's like B+, right? Yeah. They're not like just character actors. They've starred in movies, but they aren't, like you said, Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks, Denzel status. Yeah.
Hey, I mentioned Rum Punch, Elmore Leonard. Jackie Brown, Bridget Fonda far removed from this. I mean, you know what else? I don't know so much about Bridget Fonda. But definitely Brendan Gleeson, Oliver Platt, maybe Bill Pullman have really extensive, respectable theater backgrounds too. So I feel like it's a very even if there's not like a superstar in this film, I think these are all very dependable, respected, nuanced kind of actors, which I think they make these roles sing. Like because at the end of the day, these are somewhat archetypal roles. Like for Bridget Fonda, for instance, as Kelly Scott. It's like, I want a boyfriend. I'm like the neurotic city person, which in lesser hands, I think that could be really annoying. And I feel like she actually pulls it off with this and gives you like a good cipher for the audience.
It's a screwball character. It's like a screwball comedy between
really
her and, I mean, even the names Kelly Scott and Jack Wells scream
Cary
Grant, 40s screwball, you know? So I had some, bittersweet because I think we just kind of forgot that she disappeared. Bridget Fonda.
She
retired.
She married Danny Elfman
20 years ago.
Did she like
kids and
yeah?
Not
much. She seems to be happy,
life.
But yeah, she.
I guess you're right.
This was her third to last movie, and I think
she retired in like 2002.
Yeah.
So not long after.
And she probably got that Fonda money too.
And she's married to Danny Elfman. They're not want. I'm just saying, it's too bad. I'm sure she's happy. But I think about like her performances in A Rose, like how different. No matter how you feel about the movies, how different her range was pretty incredible. Like, single white female, singles,
Army of Darkness,
No Return, Simple Plan,
Army of Darkness,
huge role in Army of Darkness. But just she had range. She really had some true range, and it's too bad that she called it a day after
all time Stone Cold Fox too.
Sure. I love Bridget Fonda.
To be honest, I did not know that she was officially retired. I couldn't have named anything she had been in the past 20 years because she hasn't been in anything in the past 20 years.
So I,
did see her last fun fact. This movie, she alludes to Crocs having the legendary eyes of a dragon. Her final theatrical film was Kiss of the Dragon, a movie I saw in theaters with Jet Li.
Well, maybe they'll finally come out with the Eyes of the Dragon adaptation from Stephen King, and I don't know who she would be in that, but maybe she'll
come back. Maybe she'll come back.
Didn't she do, what was the movie? I'm trying to remember the bit from the Army of Darkness where you just said, Justin, you're like, what the fuck is that?
Oh.
I think it was Bridget Fonda we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, look it up. But,
I can't remember what the hell it was.
She's got some good lines in this that kind of really set the tone, right? So you mentioned it earlier, Vanderbilt. You said even the deaths are kind of funny because of how the cast is reacting to the deaths as opposed to Jaws. Like, when somebody dies in Jaws, it's this terrifying, monumentally deadly, serious moment that the town is going to the funeral and Brody's getting slapped. But in this one, you know, she's saying, like, don't throw heads at me. When they find the body of the diver who gets his head chopped off, bitten off. And she does it with such a good flair. Like, I can deal with dead men, bodies. Like, there's just a lot of good little one-liners that everybody's given off in this movie, especially Kelly Scott.
You need a certain kind of energy to pull that off, both in the 90s and now, and for it to age well, too. Like, I think it could be really easy for this movie to fall into... honestly, you know what I thought of when they made some jokes about, you know, her being in the wilderness and everything? I thought about... Bryce Dallas Howard in Jurassic World, which is I defend that movie, but I totally get why people have issues with that character. Mm. And I think, I'm not saying Bryce Dallas Howard isn't a good actor. She obviously is, but I think it more gets down to the writing, right? Like, I think that type of character, the kind of fish out of water character, can come off, especially if it's a woman and they're like, oh yeah, this like prissy woman, haha, that can come off in really bad taste, I think, without a certain kind of writing behind it and a certain kind of performance behind it. And I actually think it works quite well here.
It is old fashioned, but
yes, very old fashioned for sure.
You guys are right.
But, and I think this movie's kind of old fashioned.
It is old fashioned.
David E. Kelly, see, he's kind of taking the piss out of every character in this movie to an extent, you know, with the exception, maybe Bill Pullman, not so much, but like, you know, but you have Brendan Gleeson as Sheriff Hank Koch. I don't know how you say his last name. I feel like they make fun of his sort of rigidness. And then with Oliver Platt, who right as he's getting annoying, they take the piss out of him too, and actually deepen his character in a way that I
love the relationship between Oliver Platt and, is it Brendan Gleeson?
Yeah.
Because you expect it to go one way and then it doesn't. And you like... I liked how it all ended up for those guys.
Would you argue that if Bridget Fonda and Bill Pullman are one couple, I think they're kind of a couple in a weird way too, especially with the ending.
Well, have that screwball Han and Leia fucking enemies into friends banter, probably better than, more memorably than Bill Pullman and Bridget Fonda in this picture.
I love them getting into the guy who's going to ride with him in the ambulance, and Brendan Gleeson, partly out of a sense of duty, I think, but also because he's kind
they're
of warmed
warming up to each
bit.
Other. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes to them. And they have that, they share that moment where he talks about, like, you know, the deputy being killed and how you get a little bit more of Oliver Platt. I should call him his actual name, Hector Sear. You get a little bit of his humanity when he talks about the deputy who got beheaded. And
can I please give this monologue that he gives?
Please.
Which is extremely funny.
Do it.
It's when he's trying to, you know, sympathize with Keo for losing one of his deputies. He's like, you know, we're never going to forget this the rest of our lives. You know, we'll have nightmares about this. He goes, I used to have this recurring nightmare that I was headless. I'd be on the ground looking up at my body, no head, walking around, bumping into everything. My parents wouldn't let me in the house because they just bought all these new antique lamps. They were afraid I'd knock them over. Made sense. And meanwhile, the neighborhood bullies would see my round little head on the ground looking like a ball, and they'd come rushing over to start a game of soccer. Actually, you feel grateful just for being allowed into the contest. That's esteem for you. What do you thought? I mean, that's funny. That's like a funny monologue.